Next Sunday is what has come to be widely known as Mothering Sunday or Mother's Day, an annual celebration of motherhood. In our church, all adult women are celebrated, whether they are biological mothers or not, married or single, old or young. All women have considerable influence and have the potential of being mothers to others in different ways, but especially in the area of caring for people and helping them to become disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it is quite right that all should be celebrated. It is a remarkable and reassuring demonstration of the leading of the Holy Spirit that the pre-planned focus for this week is faithful female workers. It gives us all the opportunity to focus on the examples of faithful female children of God during the week, giving us even better reasons for whatever we choose to do in our private celebrations next Sunday. This is also the first Mother's Day that we are not able to gather face to face as usual because of the global pandemic. Regardless, we have a whole week in our churches, in homes and small groups to make much of all the women, thanking God for them and praying for them. A number of godly women were highlighted in the Bible, women who made a huge positive difference in people's lives, sometimes even having significant impact on the whole nation of God's people. There were women like Sarah, Deborah, Esther, Ruth, Elizabeth, the Marys, there were at least two of them, Anna, Dorcas, Lydia, Nympha, and then of course our main examples for this week, Phoebe and Priscilla. Many of us, if not most of us, know the account of these women as revealed in the Bible. Here is a challenge. If you were to highlight two things that they all had in common, that may explain the reason for their exemplary lives of faithfulness, what would those two things be? I have had some time to think about this, so I will share what I have come up with for our corporate reflection. I will share one thing they did not do and one thing they all did. Firstly, let's consider what they did not do. They generally did not pursue public acclaim, recognition, status, or control over others in order to exploit them for their own selfish reasons. They simply obeyed God instead of taking their cue from the cultures and traditions around them. The way of the world is to pursue these things by hook or by crook. The general motivation of these women was to do the right thing, irrespective of how they would be viewed by the world around them. Contrast them with a woman like Eve, who was deceived into wanting to be like God. She was deceived into believing that God was holding out on her and Adam, and that there was something to be gained by looking out for themselves, independent of God's will for them. She therefore chose disobedience instead of faithfulness. Let's also contrast the godly women with an evil woman like Jezebel, who sought to control her husband and through him to control the nation of God's people, succeeding in leading them into terrible idolatry and wickedness. The interesting thing is that the faithful women did not pursue selfish interests, but still ended up being effective and influential in various ways. It is as if they lived by the command given by our Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus said, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." It is really about putting the horse before the cart, as they say, a wise way to live. Many people put the cart before the horse and they end up going nowhere. They gamble with their God-given lives and end up losing paradise. Sadly, some people behave like this even while claiming to be believers in God. Some use the church and God's people as commodities to gain the very same things the world is selfishly chasing after. The Bible warns us to detect and steer clear of such people. There was the case of a man who did so badly in the year of a Master of Science program that it was likely he would be asked to leave. He decided to go before he was pushed out. He cynically declared that he would go and start a church and gain his fame and fortune by exploiting gullible people. He had up till then not shown any visible signs of faith in God and did not associate with any Christian group in that university. Where could he have gotten the idea that what he was proposing to do was possible? The reality is that there are many such apparently thriving Christian groups being led by people who are not themselves genuine disciples of Jesus. These people are giving Christianity a bad name by exploiting people to gain fame and wealth. There was a documentary about one of these acclaimed leaders showing a segment where he was teaching a group of new leaders how to play the God game. Those were his exact words. For many of these people, it is a game that they learn to play in order to exploit people. We should all be discerning and avoid these people. We should pray for them, because if they do not repent, they will face terrible consequences at the judgment and will spend eternity separated from God in hell. Don't take my word for it. Let's read what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers.'" Very sad indeed. Let us, therefore, follow the godly examples of faithful women and indeed faithful men in the Bible, and make sure that we do not make it our motivation and priority to pursue public acclaim recognition, status, or control over others in order to exploit them for selfish reasons. Let's move on to what the faithful female workers did. Well, they simply got on with it. They buckled down and got on with whatever needed doing and did it with all their hearts. Again, it's as if they lived by the command in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 to 24. I'll read it. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. This is how all of us, all believers, men and women, married or single, young or old, are supposed to live in order to hear those highly desired words from our Lord Jesus, recorded in Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Let's now focus on the examples for this week. The faithful female workers, Phoebe and Priscilla. Paul mentioned them, along with a number of his other male and female co-workers in the Lord, in Romans 16. Let's read verses 1 to the first sentence in verse 5. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Cenchreae. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help she may need from you. For she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Phoebe was a deacon, or deaconess, if you like, in a local church. She was clearly trusted by Paul to carry a very important letter to the Roman church. We do not know whether she was traveling to Rome for other reasons, or made that journey specifically because Paul asked her to. The important thing is that Paul trusted her to be his delegate. We know that to be a deacon, she would have demonstrated certain qualities. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 to 11. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. In our private reflections, let's consider each of the qualities mentioned and ask ourselves if we would pass the same tests that Phoebe would have been subjected to. We know a bit more about the life and ministry of Priscilla. She and her husband Aquila were close associates of Paul. They were originally from Rome, but settled in Corinth after Jews were expelled from Rome by the Emperor Claudius. Paul stayed with them in Corinth, working with them at tent making. They were willing to travel with Paul, eventually settling in Ephesus. It was in Ephesus that we catch a glimpse of the teaching ministry of Priscilla alongside her husband. She helped to explain the scriptures to Apollos, a prominent itinerant preacher at the time. Her ministry had a wider impact through Apollos. We can read about this in Acts chapter 18, verses 24 to 28. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted his Jewish opponents in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. There is a lot we can learn by personally and intentionally reflecting on the lives of these two faithful women. May the Lord help each one of us to identify at least one area to work on in order to be more faithful as God's servants, whether we are men or women. For our corporate reflection in Churches in Homes this week, let's remember to focus on the two things that all faithful servants of God have in common. Let me remind you of what the two things are. Number one, faithful servants of God do not pursue public acclaim, recognition, status, or control over others for personal gain. Number two, faithful servants of God wholeheartedly and diligently get on with whatever needs to be done. May the Lord help us to be good and faithful servants, in obedience to Him and in the power of the Holy Spirit, leaving the results to Him. Amen.